Baseball is popular worldwide, but few places love the game as much as Mexico, where it's known as the King of Sports. I'm Bruce Baskin, inviting you to join me here on WRMI every week for Baseball Mexico. Mexico is the only nation in the world where pro baseball is played year-round. You'll be able to follow both the Mexican League in the spring and summer and the Mexican Pacific League in the fall and winter. The sun never sets on Mexican baseball, and we'll be here every week to tell you all about it on Baseball Mexico, Sundays at 10:30 a.m. Eastern on WRMI. Hello, baseball fans. ¿Cómo está? I'm Bruce Baskin with Baseball Mexico, WRMI's weekly Mexican baseball review. Reliever Jose Vargas set down the Mazatlan Venados in a 1-2-3 ninth inning Saturday night to seal the Hermosillo Naranjeros 1-0 win over the home team, cinching the Mexican Pacific League pennant in the seventh and deciding game of the League Championship Series. Hermosillo center fielder Chris Roberson led off the game with a triple to the center field wall and was subsequently driven across home plate on a fly ball to right by Vinny Castilla for what would be the game's only run. The Naranjeros collected only three hits on the night, but Mazatlan was able to gather just six singles in the contest themselves in a fabulous pitcher's duel between Naranjeros starter Juan Delgadillo and Mazatlan's Walter Silva. Delgadillo tossed shutout ball until being pulled with two out in the eighth inning, scattering those six hits and a walk on three strikeouts for the win. For his part, Silva pitched beautifully for Mazatlan over eight full innings, allowing just two hits and a pair of walks with seven strikeouts for the defending champion Venados, who were seeking their fourth title in 6 years. The other three leagues sending teams to the Caribbean Series have concluded their playoffs, rounding out the field of four teams playing this week in Margarita. The Dominican League was the first to crown a champion last week as the Escogido Leones topped the Cibao Gigantes 5-3 last Thursday at Estadio Julian Javier in San Francisco de Macorís. Francisco Liriano won his third postseason game by pitching five innings of one-hit shutout ball for Escogido, who won the Caribbean Series in both 1988 and 1990. Two more champions were crowned Friday night, including Venezuela's series winner Caracas. The Leones topped Magallanes 7-2 to take the seventh and deciding game as Carlos Maldonado was 4-for-5 at the plate with a double and two RBIs. Gregor Blanco added a solo homer to back up Caracas starter Jason Standridge, who led in one run over six innings. Meanwhile, the Mayaguez Indios had to go 11 innings before finally vanquishing the Caguas Criollos 8-6, winning the Puerto Rican League Championship Series in the process. Angel Sanchez had four hits with a run and two RBIs for Mayaguez, while Edwards Guzman knocked in a pair of runs as the Indios clinched their first trip to the CS since 2005. With the four-team field set, the 2010 Caribbean Series will open play Tuesday with a pair of games at Isla Margarita, Venezuela. Puerto Rico will take on the Dominican Republic at 3 p.m. Tuesday afternoon, followed by an 8 p.m. nightcap between Mexico and Venezuela. The six-day tournament will feature a double round-robin schedule among the four teams. The Mexpac champions are also set to take on the Dominican Republic at 3 p.m. Wednesday before squaring off against Puerto Rico on Thursday, also at 3 p.m. Mexico then begins their second run against CS opponents Friday night at 8 against Venezuela, Saturday at 3 p.m. versus the Dominicans, and wrapping up Sunday afternoon at 3 against Puerto Rico. As the host team, the Caracas Leones will play all six night games, while each other team will play four afternoon games and two each under the lights. All Caribbean Series games will be played at Estadio Nueva Esparta in Isla Margarita. You're listening to Baseball Mexico on WRMI in Miami and online at baseballguru.com. Two Mexican League teams under scrutiny in the offseason have been the Chihuahua Dorados and the Nuevo Laredo Tecolotes. LNB President Plinio Escalante told both franchises they needed to clarify their ownership and management situations to field Liga teams in 2010. The clarifications have apparently come to pass. The Dorados are being leased by owner Jose Mize to a local group headed by Mario Rodriguez with an option to buy. Mize also owns the Monterrey Sultans, as the Mexican League allows people to own multiple teams. Meanwhile, according to Puro Baseball, the Tecolotes have submitted papers outlining their ownership structure, including a new team president, Victor Manuel Ordóñez. Ordóñez will replace longtime Nuevo Laredo baseball figure Victor Lozano at the head of the team. Left-handed pitcher Edgar Osuna has agreed to a one-year contract with the Kansas City Royals for 2010. Osuna was picked by the Royals in this winter's Rule 5 draft after spending a number of seasons in the Atlanta Braves organization. A native of Mazatlan, Osuna was signed by Atlanta as an undrafted 16-year-old free agent in 2004. He ultimately began his minor league career in 2006 with the Braves rookie league team of the Gulf Coast League. Osuna worked his way up the Atlanta system, splitting the 2009 season between Myrtle Beach of the Class A Carolina League and Mississippi of the Class AA Southern League. Overall, his minor league career record is 22-19 with a 3.38 ERA in 4 years. Baseball America ranked Osuna as Atlanta's 17th best prospect last year. Osuna has spent time this winter pitching for his native Mazatlan in the Mex Pack, turning in a 2-0 record and 1.80 ERA in 16 appearances before the Royals shut him down shortly after drafting him. You can't blame Sergio Valenzuela if he's hesitant to sign a long-term lease on an apartment these days. The ill-fated pitcher has been traded for the second time since the end of the 2009 Mexican League season, this time to the Oaxaca Guerreros. Valenzuela's odyssey began when he was initially dealt in the offseason by the Monclova Acereros to Quintana Roo. Then on January 25th, the Tigre shipped Valenzuela to Oaxaca in exchange for young catcher Jose Francisco Cordova. The 6'3", 25-year-old righty was 3-1 with a 3.11 ERA for Monclova last summer, but his season was most notable for his 50-game suspension handed down by the Mexican League after testing positive for amphetamine use. A former Atlanta Braves farmhand, Valenzuela, has spent the winter pitching for Mazatlan. Going 4-4 with a 4.65 ERA over the regular season, he's 1-0 with a 2.08 ERA in 8 relief appearances for the Venados in the playoffs. And Major League veteran infielder Henry Mateo will open the upcoming 2010 Mexican League season in Torreon with the Laguna Vaqueros. The 33-year-old Dominican spent last summer with the pennant-winning Durham Bulls of the Class AAA International League, batting .277 in 82 contests. Mateo has split this winter between Del Este of the Dominican League and Los Mochis of the Mexican Pacific League. After hitting just .167 in 16 games for the Toros, he finished the regular season with Mochis by batting .308 over 16 games for the Caneros. Mateo was Montreal's second-round draft pick in 1997 and made his big league debut with the Expos in 2001. He moved with the team to Washington in 2005. In 190 games over six MLB seasons, Mateo batted .233 with one homer, 15 stolen bases, and 39 runs scored. Mateo will be expected to take over second base in Laguna for 2009 Mexican League MVP Dionis Cesar, who will play in Japan this year. You're listening to Baseball Mexico on Radio Miami International and online at OurSportsCentral.com. This week, our Mexican baseball road trip will take us from Puebla to the 18th stop on our road trip, Veracruz. Veracruz is a city full of life and full of history. With about a half million residents, it sits on the Gulf of Mexico and ranks as one of the wettest and most humid cities in the country. It was the first town in Mexico to be founded by the Spanish conquistadores just days after Hernan Cortes landed on Good Friday of 1519. The original site was just to the north of the present city, but the Spaniards finally settled on the current location by 1589. Veracruz immediately became Mexico's most important seaport, a position it would hold well into the last century. As a result, it has also been the scene of many military battles over the centuries. In addition to the Spanish, Veracruz has been occupied twice each by the French and USA forces during the past 200 years, most recently in 1914, when USA Marines took over to protect their government's interest during the Mexican Revolution of that time. Despite its somewhat somber military history, Veracruz is one of the liveliest cities in Mexico. The annual 9-day winter carnival celebrated there ranks among the most raucous on the American continent, and the Festival del Caribe in late August features a huge celebration of the arts. While tourism has never been a real centerpiece of the Veracruz economy, people who do visit often find it to be one of the most fun-loving and enjoyable places in the country. The cultural center of Veracruz is the Plaza de las Armas, a tree-filled square that has been occupied by locals and visitors, some of them belonging to invading armies for generations. There is perpetual activity at this location from morning through night. The Plaza de las Armas is surrounded by shops and restaurants, as well as the Municipal Palace, which was built in 1608 and renovated in the 1700s, and the Virgen de la Asunción Cathedral, which dates back to 1731. In the port of Veracruz are the Pemex Tower, a crafts market, several prominent older buildings, and a miles-long Malecón seaside walkway similar to that in Mazatlán. Baseball has had a long storied history in Veracruz, too. The Rojos Aguilas team of the LMB dates back to the 1930s, and the city has been home to five Liga champions, although the last pennant came in 1970. Hall of Famer Cool Papa Bell won the first Triple Crown in Mexican League history in 1940, playing under legendary strongman owner Jorge Pascual. Veracruz has been one of the true hotbeds for baseball in Mexico for many years, and today many players call the state home. The modern-day Red Eagles play their Liga home games at Parque Beto Ávila, one of the smallest venues in Mexico with seating for about 7,000 fans. Veracruz is also home to a winter baseball league that draws many Mexican League veterans and is said by some to be on a par competitively with the Western Mexican Pacific League. Our next road trip stop next week will be number 19 on our circuit of 24, Minatitlan, Veracruz. One final note for this week. With the failure to find commercial sponsors to underwrite the cost of producing and airing Baseball Mexico's program on Radio Miami International, the final broadcast of the BBM radio program has been set for next Sunday, February 2nd at 10:30 a.m. Eastern on WRMI, which can be found at 99.55 kHz on the shortwave dial. And further, I want to publicly thank WRMI station owner Jeff White for all of his encouragement and kindness from the beginning. As somebody whose radio experience dates back to 1976, I can absolutely guarantee you that there are not enough people like Jeff White running stations in radio on any waveband. What is happening with BBM is strictly a financial decision, and I do plan to be back on WRMI in some way, shape, or form in the future. I love radio, especially shortwave radio. The text version of Baseball Mexico will continue, but we'll talk more on that next week. And that's got to wrap up this week's edition of Baseball Mexico on WRMI. We'll be back for one more time at this time next week. Until then, I'm Bruce Baskin saying thanks for joining us, and Viva Baseball! Baseball Mexico is able to reach people throughout the Americas and around the world by broadcasting on Radio Miami International. I'm Bruce Baskin, producer and host of BBM, and I'm proud to bring Mexican baseball to you weekly on WRMI. WRMI also broadcasts such great shows as WaveScan, DX Party Line, Happy Station, Viva Miami, World Radio Network. Shortwave is the final frontier of radio, and you can hear it all at 99.55 kHz on Radio Miami International, bringing the world of radio to a world of listeners.